I have a question. Jennifer, do we need 5 or 6 for a quorum?
We need 5 out of 9 for a quorum.
Okay, so we got that. Okay, so we're going to get started then. We do have 5, I believe. Yep. And there's, okay. So welcome everybody to the August 4th, 2021 virtual meeting of the Thurston County Planning Commission. Let's start off by with introductions. I'm Jim Simmons and I represent the 3rd District. Eric?
Eric Cassino, District 2.
What? Introduction?
Oh, I'm sorry. Ed Fleischer, District 2.
Scott?
Scott Nelson, District 3.
And Don?
Don DeHaan, District 1.
Okay, thanks, guys. So I'm looking for an approval of the agenda.
So moved.
And second.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? So.
Jim, I just got a text from Doug saying he's trying to log on.
Okay. We'll keep moving and hopefully get there. Did you hear that, Polly? Maybe you can help out.
Is he having trouble logging on? Okay. Maybe that's him.
No, he won't be on the phone, I don't believe. Or he never has before.
This is Kevin on the phone.
Okay. Kevin, would you introduce yourself, please?
Sure. Kevin Pestinger, District 1.
Thank you. So, and then... Hopefully we'll get Doug on. Did I get everybody? Don, did you introduce yourself?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just kind of discombobulated for me people coming on and stuff. Okay, so here we go. Approval of the agenda. I'm looking for an approval of the meeting minutes for July 21st, 2021.
So moved.
And second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, so we are on to public communication. For this virtual meeting, please choose to raise your hand option if you wish to address the Planning Commission. If you are dialing in, press 9 to raise your hand. We'll unmute you when it is your turn to speak. Make sure you also choose 6 to unmute yourself. The 3-minute timer will show on the video screen to help keep track of time. If you have issues speaking and being heard, please disconnect from the Zoom meeting and call 360-972-6785 to make your public comment. And Polly, I'm hoping you'll put up the timer.
Yes, I have the timer.
Thank you. And we have, looks like Sandler Stepanen. I'm not sure which one, if it's Rick or Loretta. Try it now.
Hello, it is Loretta. It's Loretta Stepanen.
Go ahead, Loretta, you're up.
Thank you. Later on your agenda, you're going to be hearing from the staff on the Upcastle land use and being asked to set a hearing date. And I want to recommend that there's homework that both you and the staff could do before setting that hearing date so that all of us from the community and yourselves are in a better position to do that hearing. I've got 4 items I want to tell you about that I think are homework. The first 2 relate to the fact that the land that you're talking about is farmland. The small parcel that's was documented, according to the Washington State Department of Agriculture, is cropland. The larger property is currently being taxed as open space agriculture. Those 29 acres are taxed at $580 a year with that tax break. The second item, and so this background needs to be in the document that it is farmland, because that's an important issue in our county. The second item is, because it's farmland and you have a no net loss of farmland goal in the comprehensive plan, that goal and its objectives need to be listed in the document. The third is that we need to have a more meaningful and thorough SEPA checklist to be submitted by the landowner. Actually, the whole process of the SEPA checklist, when you're doing this particular kind of rezoning, needs to be rethought about. But here, what needs to be happening is the comp plan states that when you rezone from rural resource residential to rural resource industrial, the rezone goes well beyond the landowner's desires. It must promote the general welfare of the community, the general welfare, not the personal or property interests. The comp plan also says that to make this kind of a change, the proposal must at minimum maintain environmental quality standards. You got to have a checklist that checks these things, how you can put that kind of a building onto that land where there's farmland right now. The last thing, I hope I have time, is a little bit harder to tackle. There seems to be some ambiguity in how you can read code 2029 that is about what's in rural resource industrial. Part five is what you have in the document that was given to you, and it shows how you might change it. It's about where you have an intersection, where you're at the intersection of a county road and the I-5, so that you can have a fabricating and warehouse and that sort of thing. And some people interpret that to mean that it can be any kind of such industry, even if it doesn't provide any service to timber, mineral, and agriculture. But the purpose statement of that particular code says that it has to be connected. And the purpose statement was not included in the materials that were sent to you. The purpose
statement. I'm going to have to ask you to wrap up here.
Right. You need to read the purpose statement there that says this has to be dependent upon agriculture and forest and minerals. That's what the purpose statement of that section of our code says. And so there's ambiguity about how to understand that. I think you have to clear up that. And this is a big project. You have to clear up that ambiguity before you move ahead on this particular decision-making. Rural resource industrial is very different than land that could be farm, timber, or housing. And it's irreversible because it can't turn back into those things or can't be used for those things once you make that decision. So the step you're at right now is the key step. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Corinna. John Woodford. Please, and can I, I'm sorry for interrupting, John, but could you all please introduce yourself and give us a general idea of where you live?
Okay, thank you, Jim. Commissioners, my name is John Woodford. I live on Long Lake. I'm chair of the Thurston County Shoreline Stakeholders Coalition. We were all a little amazed at some of the conversation at the last meeting. And the reluctance of staff, I will say, to get notice of a public hearing, whatever date that's going to be, out ASAP. The idea that we can hold everything is for public outreach until the last minute is totally contradictory to not only ecology's guidelines for the SMP, which has a whole chapter on community and public outreach. And I'm just going to quote, which I've done before, the county's mission statement is to create a community that promotes health, commerce, and environmental protection with transparency and accountability. I have said this before, I'll say it again. I don't think the CPED staff has any concept of what transparency and accountability is. Waiting till the very last minute to send postcards out to 2,700 people whose properties are going to either have a changed environmental designation or being brought into it, and sending this out at the last minute is just not acceptable. It's totally contrary to the county's mission statement, to ecology's guideline, and I cannot understand what staff's point is in all of this. Thank you. That's all I've got to say right now. Good night.
Thank you, John. Barry Halverson, please.
Thank you, commissioners. My name is Barry Halverson. I'm from the Lake Lawrence Lake Management District out here in northern Thurston County. Jim, I'd just like to thank you and the other commissioners. Take this time to thank them for the attention to detail on the issues and the patience that they've had in dealing with all the major issues that the community has provided input on this major program. This is a huge program that you've taken on over the last basically 5 years. I'd also like to thank Andrew for his conscientious review, research, and feedback on issues directly to communities that have provided input. He's gotten back to us, and I really appreciate that. I haven't seen that from other community planners in the past. I just wanted to make that point. And having said that, I didn't make the meeting 2 weeks ago. I actually thought it was, I missed it by a day. So I have some concerns. I think John Woodford already mentioned it, about the notification to those affected by changes to the shoreline designations. This is going to be a major thing for all these people out there that are around the shoreline. And the Thurston County commissioners are going to take some major heat on this if it's not done right. And if these people aren't, I mean, I've already got people from the Lake Lawrence community calling me, writing me, wanting to know when we're going to have the public hearing, wanting to get involved in it. We've already established a committee here at Lake Lawrence to review the final draft when it comes out. And I do appreciate the staff at least acknowledging the fact that a couple hard copies need to be sent out to those that have been most concerned about this. And I just am really, I'm anxious for the county because of the lack of communication with the communities. Now, certain lakes have communicated with their people, and we've taken these issues on as they've come over the last 3-4 years. But a lot haven't, and a lot of them are going to be blindsided by this when it comes out. So I truly hope that that notification letter that goes out, that notification card, makes the impact that it needs to make on all those community members that are going to be impacted, so that they can get their comments in and heard. That's all I've got to say. I appreciate everybody's time on the Planning Commission. I know you've worked really hard on all of this, as well as all the other issues you're dealing with. And I wish you the best. Have a good evening.
Thank you, sir. Next up would be Sue.
Sue Danver, did you say?
Yep, I don't have a last name. All I have is Sue, so I'm guessing that's you.
Yeah, yes, that's me. Thank you. Hello, this is Sue Danver. I live in the Delphi area, up by Alpine Hills. Thank you so much for requesting a citizen committee to review the draft wireless code, which you're doing tonight. I also appreciated that the county commissioners supported the formation of a committee. I encourage you to pursue your initial ask to make this committee one of Thurston County citizens. That is, Thurston County residents who will live who will live with the hundreds, if not thousands, of small but powerful cellular units in or near their neighborhoods, residences, recreational parks, and tens of thousands of acres protected for conservation purposes. I do have some concerns regarding industry representation. Recently, I was a member of the Mineral Lands Stakeholders Committee that met for 2 years. The industry members outnumbered the citizens in any vote that was taken. Although the industry reps were cordial, these salaried professionals advocated for code that would increase convenience for the installation, operation, and maintenance of their facilities, while also trying to minimize business costs. This is logical. Industry is in the business of profit. Citizens' desires are often different from those of industry. I would say much more heartful and community-oriented. Another concern is whether the industry candidates for the Wireless Code Committee live in Thurston County. If chosen, would they be designing code for a population for whom they don't represent? Thurston County citizens are proud of its county's diverse beauty and would like to protect probably key areas. The wireless code decisions could determine the future appearances of many of the county's landscapes and spectacular vistas from various view sheds. Therefore, I support a committee of Thurston County citizens who love and know the county. In conclusion, I would encourage one or two planning commissioners to attend and or participate in the wireless code meetings. The process is really insightful. Thank you so much for your interest in this matter. I'm very encouraged that this committee was encouraged. I will answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thanks, Sue. Josh Stottlemyer.
All right, can you hear me?
Yep, you're good, Josh.
Okay, great, thank you. Good evening, commissioners. Josh Stottlemyer, I live in Olympia, unincorporated Thurston County. Thank you all for your support for the Citizens Advisory Board on the wireless code update. Really, really appreciate it. Staff has supplied you with a memo including the names for consideration on the citizen, and I emphasize citizen board. As far as we were able to determine, none of the names put forth from the wireless industry are citizens of Thurston County. If you listen to the BOCC meeting where they discussed the advisory board, and Commissioner Simons can back me up on this, not once did any of the commissioners ask for industry or non-citizen input on the advisory board. The only time industry inclusion was mentioned was in a statement by staff member Jennifer Davis that in the past, industry is typically included in these types of things. When staff member Chavez summarized what the advisory board would be, he included the industry. I don't believe the commissioners heard him. I listened to the meeting twice and I almost missed it. In fact, Commissioner Edwards specifically stated he did not want, and I quote, phone company people on the advisory board. What was stated again and again by all of the commissioners was that this would be a citizen board. And what was talked about the whole meeting was getting citizens involved, not more industry involvement. That wasn't suggested at any time by any of the commissioners. The other clear decision from the BOCC was that they wanted the Planning Commission to decide on the makeup of the board. There was also a recommendation from the County Wireless Advisor that too many varied voices and too large of a board would impede progress. We believe it's likely that the names put forth from the industry are lawyers or lobbyists or both. They were certainly paid to participate. These are people who will attempt to dominate and control the discussion and may be experts at doing so. I can assure you that they will fight every idea the actual citizens have and impede progress. They will be representing the will of their employer, which is based in profit. That's it. They will not care what is best for citizens, property values, safety, or complying with rules or standards. Only cost and expeditiousness. The industry has already had, according to staff, direct input into the code. The FCC wireless rules are written to heavily favor industry. Remove local control as much as possible and allow industry to do whatever they like as much as possible. They don't need more help by sitting on the citizen advisory board. You also need to consider that by including industry on this board, especially if they're attorneys, they will listen to every word and take every opportunity for future lawsuits to challenge any rules they don't like. It's happened more than once in other communities all around the country. So industry inclusion would mean that we have to watch every word we say rather than having an open, productive discussion on what we can and can't get done within the law. Please leave the industry out of the committee. I appreciate your time on this and thank you so much for your consideration.
Thanks, Josh. Looks like, Dorothy Lyons?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, you're good.
Wonderful. I'm Dorothy Lyons, a candidate for the Wireless Code Citizens Group, and I just wanted to introduce myself and put at least a voice to the name. I'd like to thank the Planning Commission for the time and effort they devote in public service on behalf of us all. I really do appreciate it. I would also like to say that I agree with what Josh, who spoke before us, mentioned, that I question the appropriateness of industry participation in the process at this particular time. I wouldn't consider it a transparency issue if they're not included. They'll have full access to the results of the process, and I'm sure they'll express their opinions. I also understood this forum to be an opportunity for additional citizen input to work with the county regarding proposed code changes that are in the best interest of both the county and its citizens. The Planning Commission is itself a citizens advisory commission. It doesn't seem appropriate for the corporate interests that are being regulated to participate in this particular discussion. They have already had disproportionate influence in how they can be regulated. Again, thank you so very much for your time and consideration.
Thanks, Dorothy. So I'm not seeing any more hands up. Is there anybody else out there that would like to share in the public communications part of this? Oops, okie doke. Christy.
Good evening, commissioners. So I would just like
Christy, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but could you please introduce yourself and let us know?
Yes, sorry. Christy White, I live in the Delphi Valley of Thurston County. So I wanted to echo what Josh and Dorothy and Sue have also spoken about this evening regarding the selection for the committee. From the very onset, it was meant that the wireless committee would be made of citizens. And I think that is just so crucial in this process. It's what the Board of County Commissioners also indicated. No disrespect to the industry representatives if they are on and listening, but their objectives may be quite different than what we are intending to as citizens. The list of citizens that have been put before you are extraordinary quality, professional. We're level-headed people. We're not going into this without, you know, sincere depth and knowledge, and really want to foster the ability to come out with a quality product for all the citizens of Thurston County. I would also emphasize that, you know, the folks that from the industry most likely do not live here, and we all live here. And just as you give so much of your time, we're ready to give ours in a really positive fashion. So I hope you'll keep that in mind as you go through your selection. And I'm not saying that because I'm on the list, but I really care about what the outcome is for this process. So thank you again. And we'll look forward to hopefully working with a couple of you on this committee. Thank you.
Thanks, Christy. I have Diane Taylor, I hope I said that right.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hi, this is Diane Taylor. I'm representing my family business, Taylor Shellfish Farms, and I'll keep my comments very short. We submitted a comment letter today regarding the conditions for mussel raft farms that the Planning Commission is considering and discussed at the last meeting. And I just wanted to bring your attention to that comment letter and appreciate all your time and work on the Thurston County SMP. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Looks like Kim Allen.
Good evening, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Very good. Good evening, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. My name is Kim Allen. I am with the Wireless Policy Group, and I have spoken to you before representing Verizon. My name is on the list for participation in what we hope will be a stakeholders group combined of citizens and industry representatives to arrive at a balanced look at the draft code that's been proposed. I'm anxious to serve. I have spent many years on two planning commissions, one in the city of Redmond and one in my current home in Kitsap County. I served 11 years on the Redmond City Council as an elected official. So I have a history of public service myself. I do work in the industry right now, and I do know that meetings like this and working from home and those other things are very important and to your citizens. And we want to make sure that whatever code is drafted is workable. And it's important to have the industry representatives on this committee, because ultimately we are the end users of this code. We are the group that will be regulated, and we do need to make sure that the ideas that the citizens are bringing forward, which we will listen to respectfully and consider and hope to add to the discussion. But we do want to make sure that there's a voice at the table that talks about feasibility in terms of what's being suggested. So I would urge the commission to include end users of this code on the committee, and to look at it as a stakeholders committee, not just a citizens committee. For the record, I live in Olalla, Washington, just a little bit north of you all. I don't live in Thurston County, but I do believe that we can bring value to the discussion as we go forward. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next up is Lisa Reiner.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, thank you. Lisa Reiner, Thurston County resident for 40 years. I wanted to add my voice to the discussion regarding the Citizens Advisory Board on these wireless issues for Thurston County. I would like to reemphasize the importance of having local residents predominate in their understanding going forward with the industry. I think the staff of the Planning Commission will help the Citizens Advisory Board understand these rules and regulations. I really don't know if we need industry representatives on this stakeholder group. It seems like the motivation, obviously, when you're being paid to be at a meeting to force your issues and the profit of your industry over the concerns of local residents. That is my concern. I know that we've had quite a bit of discussion as to living here in Thurston County. We've seen some of the problems in the past. We want to go forward, and these are very big issues for the future. So I'm very concerned by allowing industry representatives who are being paid, and like was said before, many times they are lawyers, and they know the ins and outs of legal issues that might force us to have second guess our discussion, our language, because we might be sued by these groups. So that was just my concern. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lisa. I'm not seeing any other hands, and we probably need to move on anyway. So here we go, guys. So next, Jennifer, I have a question for you, or Paul. We had a conversation about introducing commission members when they spoke. Is that what we need to do? I see Kevin has his name up there now, so we know he's there. Do we still need to do that, or?
Yes, I think for the recording, Polly, correct me if I'm wrong. Before you speak, if you could say, just this is Ed or this is Kevin or however you want to do it, because otherwise it has something to do with how the recording it doesn't necessarily jump to your frame on the Zoom when you start talking.
Okay. It's important for the ones without their camera on, mostly. Because if you don't have your camera on, you're not going to be on the gallery view. We won't know who's saying what they're saying.
So did everybody kind of catch that? Just, I'm Jim and go for it. Okay, so looks like you're up, Andrew.
Okay, great. Good evening, Chair Simmons and Commission. Andrew DeFobis, Interim Senior Planner with Community Planning. So we're here tonight to talk about the SMP and to request the Planning Commission to consider setting a public hearing for the Shoreline Master Program update. Staff provided updated Shoreline Master Program draft materials to the Planning Commission that were dated July 28th, 2021. The only things that changed since the July 16 version you received are that I incorporated the feedback from the last meeting on aquaculture, on industrial uses, and property line fencing. So all of those, either the options you requested to be in the draft or the direction you provided, I put it in the version of the draft that shows all the strike through multicolor version. Staff also produced a clean copy of the July 28th draft where all the multicolor strike through text was deleted and the underlying text was incorporated. And in the process of cleaning up the draft, there were some minor grammatical numbering and formatting changes performed. I had to reformat a couple of the comments. Otherwise, it should look very similar to what you got on the 16th, and there were no changes to any of the other appendices or anything. Okay, so as a reminder, the general pieces of the Shoreline Master Program update include the main Shoreline Master Program draft that we've gone through over several meetings, as well as the appendices to that draft. Also, supplemental reports that were produced for the inventory and characterization document and for the shoreline environment designations report. And of course, those original documents themselves are certainly, you know, part of the whole public hearing package that's moving forward. So tonight, I'd like to answer any questions that you may have. And then if Planning Commission is ready, staff would suggest that you set a public hearing on the Shoreline Master Program comprehensive and periodic updates for September 15th, 2021. You also received an email from the county manager that the Board of County Commissioners has asked that a public hearing should be held by mid-October. So there are additional dates available for that hearing on October 6th or October 20th, which would fit within that email from the county manager. Once a hearing is set, we will begin an extended public outreach period beyond all the 60-something meetings we've had in the last 4 years, which will include our virtual open house, outreach to citizens directly, and also outreach to interested parties. We'd like at least 1 month ahead of the hearing to hold those efforts. So ahead of tonight's meeting, we received two written comments, which have been forwarded to the Planning Commission this afternoon and also posted on the Planning Commission website. And that's all I have. I will turn it over to you, other than to remind you, I know there are still some outstanding items that you have asked me for, some information about no net loss and some other things I'm tracking from previous meetings. And my plan is to bring those back to you either at a future work session if there's time, or to write a memo and hopefully address them one of those two ways. So that is all I have, and I'll turn it over to the Planning Commission.
So I'm looking for a motion to set a public hearing on the Thurston County SMP comprehensive and periodic updates for September 15, 2021 at 7 p.m. Is anybody willing to make that motion, and then we can have the discussion on it?
So moved.
Is there somebody that's willing to second? Okay. It looks like that's dead for now then.
So we would be interested to learn from Planning Commission, what is it that we can do, or what is it that you are looking for in order to get closer to that end? I know that commissioners had asked for some time to continue to review the documents. So we're curious if if it's time, if it's additional, just anything additional. So I'd love to hear from you all.
For me personally, I believe we need to get this to the public. I think it's time for hearing. We've been going back and forth on this for a long time and we haven't really heard from the general public. So to get the postcards out, to get all the information out, do the open houses, it's time to, my opinion, it's time to move on. That's all I'm saying. We've been on this forever, it seems like. And, it's just, we need to get things done. Right? That's just me.
Jim, I would not disagree with you, Jim, but I think we still have a couple of things to take care of. And I have a couple of questions that procedural questions first. And I guess the first one would be, if you could explain, Andy, will you release the postcard and the mapping tool to the public as soon as we set the public hearing, or are you planning on doing that within a time? Like if we set this public hearing for October, will you release the tool and the postcard today or tomorrow, or will you release it 20 days ahead of the meeting?
The plan is for 4 to 6 weeks of virtual open house, having that open online, updating it, responding to questions. So if you were to set it in October, we would back it out about to have at least 4 to 6 weeks, and we're prepared to launch. And so, if the Planning Commission were to set a hearing, we're prepared to get together, by the end of the week and just make sure everything is good to go. We've had those meetings and we are ready to launch things. We are, ready to send those postcards to be printed once we know when these efforts are ready to go.
Yeah, I would second that. This is Jennifer. I would say within a week of your making a decision to set the public hearing, within about a week to, 7 business days, we'd be good to go. We're not going to wait until we're 20 days out from the hearing. The whole point is to give the public lots of time, so it's not hitting them at the last minute. That's the whole point of this campaign, is to get that robust notification out there and do our road show to interested groups who want to hear from us one-on-one, and put flyers up in community centers and the whole bit, in addition to the online open house and postcard mailing and notices. So we're ready to go when you're ready to go. And it would be within probably a week to 7 business days to have everything up and running and mailed.
That's exactly so,
right. Jennifer, that's a week from when we set the date?
Yeah, if you set it tonight, I would be thinking that we'd be launching everything by mid to late next week.
That's awesome.
Okay. Knowing that that's the case, I would make another motion. And that motion would be that we would set a public hearing for the Shoreline Master Program for October 20th at 7 p.m.
I would second that motion.
I just want to, I don't have a calendar in front of me. Is that one of our meeting dates?
Yes, that's our second meeting date in October.
Yeah, this is Ed. I'm okay with that. I could do the earlier October date too. I feel a little better about what I just heard said, but I my concern about doing it on the September 15th is only about a little over 5 weeks away, and we got school start and Memorial Labor Day and everything. I'm concerned that we have enough time for the public outreach, so I like putting it off to either the earlier or later October. So
we have a motion and a second on the floor right now for October 20th to do the public hearing. Is there any other comments or thoughts?
Call for the question.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we're moving on that one.
You've made my evening. Hey.
Before we move on, I have one question.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
Any planning commissioners were contacted before the board made their decision last week about sending us that letter?
No.
Sorry, Scott, would you say that again, please?
I'm curious. We got a letter from the county manager that the board voted. I'm just curious if anybody contacted any planning commissioner?
I did not.
I wasn't.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Andrew before we move on? So next up is the Wireless Code Stakeholder Group meeting, formation, excuse me.
Hey, hello, good evening, planning commissioners. My name is Caitlin Nelson. I'm an associate planner in the Community Planning Development Department. The purpose of tonight's discussion is to review the list of potential stakeholder group participants provided in the staff memo that was included in your packet, and for the planning commissioners to choose who to invite to participate in a stakeholder group for the wireless code update. We did receive a public comment shortly before the meeting that has been forwarded to you regarding the stakeholder group. Names were not provided in any particular order, and staff is not recommending any specific person. A list of concerned citizens were submitted by a local group and provided to you. Please note one correction in that. Sue Danver did ask not to be included in this list. The names associated with wireless facility providers are drawn from those who have commented on the code update or have expressed interest in it. Ideally, there would be two planning commissioners serving on the stakeholder group. Commissioner Pestinger has previously volunteered to participate, so hopefully we could get one more volunteer from planning commissioners. Once the committee is set up, staff will work to schedule at least three initial meetings by sending a doodle poll to the invitees. And the Board of County Commissioners has provided a timeframe of 60 days to complete committee review of the draft code and make a recommendation on changes or options for the Planning Commission to consider, along with other public hearing comments already received. So with that, do you have any questions for me?
Hi. Caitlin, this is Jim. Sorry for stepping in. Would Sue Danver, would she, as be replaced with another community member?
I provided Planning Commission with the list that was provided to me by the local group. So I do not have a replacement name at the moment, but if you would like to see more names included, then that's something that I could do and provide back to you if you don't make a decision tonight.
Seems like that was a big kind of contentious part for the public comments to have some, have enough community members. So yeah, I kind of would like to see another one. I don't know what the other thoughts are.
I think that if a member showed up that we should make a seat for them, but if there hasn't been a volunteer for it, there's not much that can do about that.
Okay.
Yeah, I would be willing to just have the seat and let Caitlin or the staff fill it with a citizen if there's an appropriate person. The other thing I think it is, I don't think we need as many industry people on the committee. I think there needs to be a technical person from the industry on the committee, one, but not four, and from every industry. And I do think it would be good to have two planning commissioners on it. So.
This is Kevin.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Can you hear me? I agree with all of these comments. I have a couple of questions for Caitlin. And by the way, in terms of including only one industry representative, we already have that included with Ken Feldman. So questions for Caitlin. Number one, based on the comment by Kim Allen from Verizon about the need for feasibility to be considered, from my reading of the federal law regarding wireless facilities and the limitations it puts on counties and municipalities to write up regulations, there's not anything allowed that creates any infeasibility for wireless companies. It's literally illegal to write regulations that are infeasible for wireless companies. Isn't that correct?
If I apologize if I'm misunderstanding your question, there is still a different interpretation on some of the law around wireless code provisions. So we do have Ken, but he's not a wireless facility provider representative. He is an expert on wireless facilities, but he does not represent wireless industry. And he does disagree occasionally with some of the wireless representative opinions on some of the law. And then that is part of why we have attempted to enter this communication with wireless industry representatives, because there are some disagreements that they have, and sometimes it is based on law, sometimes it's based on what they think may or may not be possible, and sometimes there's a lot of gray area where we just need to talk about it to figure out what the real issues are. So like I mentioned before, staff is not recommending any particular member. You don't have to include industry stakeholders, but one benefit would be that they would provide input on what kind of feasibility would result from the kind of suggestions that we're looking at.
This is Jim. Okay. I think you do need some industry representation, but I don't know if you need four of them.
Right, and the names were not provided to include all of them, just as options.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I still have a couple more questions. So thank you, Caitlin. Do you know about the, like it says on here that it's recommended that the committee not get too large in order for it to operate efficiently. I have yet to hear an actual recommendation on size either by staff or by the Planning Commission members. Do we have an idea of how big we want this committee to be?
If I'm recalling correctly, I want to say that the board suggested somewhere between 6 and 8. I don't know, Jennifer, if you remember a different number, but that's what I was going off of.
I think that number was bandied about. It's really a committee for the Planning Commission, so it's up to the Planning Commission how you want to do it. In staff's experience, I think keeping it to, you know, 6 or 8 folks makes it a lot more manageable, from meeting logistics just to managing conversations and capturing options. So I think in that range, we're probably golden.
Well, that sounds good. And I agree with the recommendation of maybe only having one or two industry representatives, and ideally ones that live in Thurston County. I will make a motion to recommend that we have a stakeholder group of 7.
Kevin, are you suggesting that would also include planning commissioners or SANS planning?
Yeah. Including 2 planning commissioners.
So 7 total, including the 2. So 5 and 2.
I'd love 4 and 1, but whatever you all think is best.
But we only have 4 community members right now because Sue has dropped out. So
right. These were the ones that have volunteered. I would recommend that we had a lot of people make good public comment on this issue, including even many who were on the call tonight, such as Lisa Reiner and Loretta Seppinen, but also people like Phyllis Farrell have made good comments on this. There's a long list of people who commented on this.
Kevin, I like the idea of keeping this a community member heavy committee, but I don't think that putting a hard number on it is as important as having the right people on it. What I would prefer to do is have at the very least these 4 community people placed on it, and then whatever planning commissioners wanted to do it, and then also add in space for whatever industry leaders we want, industry people we want, and maybe if there's enough room to put any other community members that might pop up. So to me, it'd be really easy to have Josh, Dorothy, Christy, and George on there, and then 1 or 2 planning commissioners, and then 1 or 2 industry people. And then if somebody else from the community shows up, make a space for them.
I support that. I would consider that a friendly amendment.
So how do we decide on the providers' representatives?
I would put preference on those who live in Thurston County.
Do we know where that is? Stands, Caitlin?
I do not know.
Okay. We know Kim Allen lives in Kitsap County.
Okay. Scott, you have a question?
Yeah, I have a concern about I don't have a concern about stacking this with community members. I have a concern about stacking this with the community members that we have put before us, because they have all shown to be very much against what we have, what has been proposed. And, you know, if we're going to do that, we might as well just tell the industry people, you know what, just wait till the public hearing and let us know what you think. You know, we have, I mean, several of the people that have been, well, only one on the list, but several of the people that have been named have suggested that we get rid of the consultant that we have and hire a guy whose website is anti-cell tower lawyer. I mean, that's not a balanced group.
Scott? Or Eric? I'm sorry.
Well, I don't want to dismiss Scott's point there. I think it's a very good point, but I guess the counter to that would be, does it need to be a balanced group? And if it's not going to be a balanced group, how do we constitute this in a different way, so that way it would be, you know, something that you would like better?
So were the community, this Jim, Caitlin, so were the community members, are these the only ones that have stepped up? Or were there other options?
They are the only community members that have volunteered. Yes, so there has not been an outreach done.
Okay.
Perhaps if they are biased, we would have some other people on there who would give a minority report, so we would get both sides of the story.
So how soon will these folks start? What's the plan for them to start meeting?
After
I asked that question, Caitlin, as to, can we maybe hold this off until our next meeting and put some community outreach on it and see if there's any other people maybe that are on the pro side, or, you know, is it all going to be on the con side? Maybe we can get some other people that might be, you know, more friendly. But like Scott was saying, Scott makes a great point. You know, so,
Jim, this is Jennifer. As soon as the Planning Commission decides who they want to invite to the committee, then the, you know, staff would work with doodle polls and invites and getting all the logistics set up. And then there's a 60-day period within which the board expects recommendations to be coming back from the group once it starts. So I would say, if you are asking if staff can do outreach on the Planning Commission's behalf to see if there are additional citizens who are interested in participating in a stakeholder group, and also seek maybe if there's a locally based wireless person. Is that kind of what you're asking staff to do in terms of outreach?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that sort of, I just want to see if that's sort of the majority of the Planning Commission is feeling that.
Yeah.
And I think that if we have two Planning Commissioners on the committee, that we as a group will have a pretty good feel as to how that group is working. So that, I mean, if it is really pro one way or another, I mean, we would be the tempering. We, whoever is on, whichever Planning Commissioners are on it, can take care of that.
Do we have another Planning Commissioner who's wanting to volunteer? I know Commissioner Pestinger has volunteered.
I think Doug volunteered.
That's what I was kind of leaning towards too. Yeah. I'm sure I heard that in that.
I would like to, but right now I have too much to say grace over.
So we'll figure it out. We'll get somebody else on there. We'll appoint somebody or something. So Kevin, does that sound good for you to withdraw your motion?
Sure.
Okay, is that kind of going along with everybody's thoughts?
Kind of, I second it if you need it.
Well, we're just going to let the staff do the outreach and see if we can get a little bit more of a variety of thoughts.
I would hope that that the outreach effort wouldn't be something that we'd have to drag on for a long time. That would be great if we could take care of this at the next meeting and appoint them and get our 60-day window started.
Yeah, how about this? We're going to send a webmail out to our listserv of frequent and some of the folks who comment tonight get these webmails of folks who are signed up to receive updates about Planning Commission and planning activities in Thurston County. And we will use that as our outreach tool to ask for folks to give us their yes, I want to participate or whatnot in time for you to get that information back for your next meeting if possible.
Will you, this is Kevin, will you also look into which industry representatives might live in Thurston County?
Yeah, we can do that for sure. And if there are options to provide, we can provide those.
Sound like a plan, everybody?
Sounds good.
Great. Okay. Hi, Sue, I see you raised your hand, but I'm sorry, we're through with the public communications for right now. So if you come back at our next meeting, you can say your comment. Sorry. Okay, Caitlin, we got a plan.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Next up is our work session for the CPA 19 UP Council Land Abuse Amendment. And that would be the other Andrew.
Hello, commissioners. Andrew Bond again. Give me 1 second to go ahead and share my screen for the presentation. Can you guys see the presentation?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, let me go ahead and start. Good evening. My name is Andrew Bond. I'm Associate Planner with Community Planning. This evening, I am presenting on the UPCASL Comprehensive Plan Amendment that will amend the land use plan and change the land use and associated zoning from rural residential resource, one dwelling unit per 5 acres, to rural resource industrial district. Included in this presentation are options for the board to consider. Staff has also provided a motion at the end of the presentation if the board feels comfortable moving the project forward to a public hearing. The UPCASL Land Use and Rezone Amendment is a citizen-initiated request by Ray Schuler and Ryan and Catherine Hoover for a site-specific comprehensive plan amendment to amend the land use and associated zoning for two contiguous parcels on 222nd Avenue Southwest. The request would change the land use and associated zoning from rural residential resource, one dwelling unit per 5 acres, to rural resource industrial district. The proposed code change is also included as part of this amendment, since the rural resource industrial development standards would need to be amended in order to allow the applicant's desired use at this location. The properties are located at 5641 and 5505 222nd Avenue Southwest, in total 33 acres. Each parcel contains a single dwelling structure with one or more accessory structures. Both properties contain a well and septic system. If redevelopment were to move forward, the properties would be required to abandon the existing well and remediate per environmental health requirements. The property of 5505 222nd Avenue Southwest is currently enrolled in the Thurston County Assessor's Office Open Space Program as a current use of farm and agricultural land. It receives a tax exemption for the enrollment. If the land use is amended, it is anticipated that the property would no longer be enrolled in that program, and the property owner would be required to adhere to all repayment requirements. This is the proposed zoning map. The area highlighted with the red dashed line and painted purple is the area proposed to be the Rural Resource Industrial District. The area to the north and east are zoned RRR 1-5, and the area to the west is zoned RL 1-1. The properties are separated from the adjacent properties on the east and west side by two separate train lines. Lewis County is south of the property, with the abutting parcel containing warehouse distribution facilities. In conjunction with the rezoning is a code amendment to Title 20 that would broaden the locational requirements for certain types of industrial uses. currently uses like assembly of sheet metal, manufacturing articles and merchandise, storage building, warehousing, and distribution facilities are only permitted if located within 1/2 mile of the I-5 interchange. The site is over 3 miles from an interchange in Thurston County or Lewis County. So in order to allow for those to, in order to allow the allowed uses, a code change is needed. And so just to highlight the changes, it will take place in the first two sections of section A. The code will read, located within 1/2 mile of Interstate 5 interchange or adjacent to an industrial development as of date. And then the second change would read, vehicular access is from county arterial or collector roads or state highways or adjacent to an existing industrial development utilizing county roads and within 500 feet of a county arterial and or collector road or state highway. The site is adjacent to an industrial development in Lewis County located within their UGA to the south.
Ed, you answered, that was one question I had, that industrial land to the south that is in the UGA, is it served by sewer?
It is served by sewer and water, yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then moving on, there are currently two options for the Planning Commission to consider. Staff recommended moving both options to the public hearing. However, the Planning Commission can request staff investigate anything further or develop new options if needed. Option one is no change and would maintain the current land use and the RRR 1-5 zoning district and make no changes to the code. Option two would amend the comprehensive plan to change the land use designation and rezone to RRI as requested by the applicant and also amend the locational and performance criteria for uses in the rural resource industrial zoning district within the Thurston County Code. For the public tuning into this presentation who are interested in learning more about this project or would like to submit public comment, they can follow the link listed on this screen to the UpCastle Land Use and Rezone Amendment webpage. And then finally, if the Planning Commission is prepared to move forward and schedule a hearing, staff has provided a motion for the Planning Commission to consider. It is up to the Planning Commission to discuss at this point if there are any additional information needed before moving forward. As we heard in the public comment tonight, there are citizens that would like additional research and updates to the staff report prior to public hearing. We would be happy to make those changes and investigate further if the Planning Commission wishes. Thank you.
I have one question. Is September 1st, is that too soon? Do we need 30 days to?
It's to do 20 that? Days.
Pardon?
20 days.
Okay. Any thoughts on that? Anybody would like to make that motion?
I agree with the needed time for additional research.
Yeah. I mean, this, Ed, I mean, I don't know if we have to set, I mean, I got some real concerns about this. I mean, this land, the precedent this sets for allowing this type of industrial stuff outside the UGA, I think to me, it just goes against the whole point of the Growth Management Act. I appreciate that they are next door to industrial site, but that is an industrial site in another county served by urban, city resources. I have some real concerns about moving ahead with it without knowing more.
So Andrew, what type of industry or business would they be allowed to do?
They would be able to do any sort of manufacturing, warehousing, kind of went over it just briefly at the beginning. We scroll up and I give you the full list.
I guess I apologize, I missed that.
Oh, you're fine. So they would, uses would include sheet metal manufacturing, assembly of sheet metal, manufacturing of articles or merchandise, storage buildings, warehousing, or distribution facilities.
Okay.
Hey, Andrew, if this is Eric, if they are going to abandon their wells and septic systems, how are they going to get water and sewer taken care of down there? Is the county going to have to start? Is Thurston County going to have to run lines, or will Lewis County service them?
No. So the abandonment would be because the wells were built for like a single dwelling structure as well as the septic systems. And if they were to move forward with any sort of industrial use, it would have a greater demand for both water and sewer. And so more or less they would remove it and then put in a larger one. I can't speak to if Lewis County or Centralia would permit the expansion of water and sewer into the property, but it is a possibility if the applicants are able to negotiate that. But otherwise it would fall to them to fall within the environmental health standards for facilities and the required drainage fields and well sizes and whatnot.
This is Ed, just a point there. I don't think that would be possible. You could check with your department, but my understanding is a city cannot provide sewer outside its UGA.
Yeah, I believe that's correct, Ed, but we can look into that and make sure we give you that definitive statement for next time.
Cool, thanks.
I think there's been a lot of good comments so far, both from this group as well as citizens. But I think September 1st is too soon. I would be in favor of our meeting on the 6th of October to give time for further analysis and people to send in comments. I wouldn't be ready to make a decision until I got more information.
Can I ask for clarification on that, Doug?
Sure.
Would you like to schedule a public hearing out for the 6th, or are you looking for staff to bring back additional information in a work session format and then schedule the public hearing after that?
My thought would be to schedule the public hearing for the 6th, but still ask for the additional information so that you could be on our agenda between now and then.
So are you prepared to make that motion, Doug?
I am. I would move that we set a public hearing on October 6th at 7 p.m. What am I got to say here? Review of
comprehensive card item CP19 Upcastle land use and rezone.
That's great. Yes, thank you.
Is there a second for that? There it is.
There's my motion, but we change date.
Gotcha. Do we have a second?
Second.
Is there any other conversation? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, so there you go, Andrew.
Thank you, guys.
I appreciate your time. Thank you. Looks like you're up, Maya.
Hey, Jim, before we move on, sorry, Maya, I'm interrupting you. I apologize. Jennifer, I just wanted to make sure we understood what information staff was going to bring back for. It would be your August 18th meeting on Upcastle. So I heard a definitive statement about sewer and water. Is there additional specific questions that the Planning Commission wanted answered for that meeting? I just want to make sure we knew so we could be
full. Also give us an explanation on how this would affect any requirements, if there is any, for no net loss of farmlands.
Okay, great.
This is Kevin, and I echo those. I share the same questions that was just mentioned, plus the ones shared by Loretta Seppinen and Nathaniel Jones, which I think focused on no net loss, but Loretta also had questions about SEPA checklist and about some of the listings of, preferred activities or activities that are encouraged on those types of zoning.
Great. Thank you. That's good.
Thanks, Andrew.
I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Is that visible to the commission now? Great. Maya Teeples, Senior Planner with Community Planning. I'm here tonight to talk about the Places of Worship Development Code Amendment. So this is a citizen requested amendment to the development code, and it was submitted first in early 2019. The applicant requests that an amendment be made to the code on how associated uses to places of worship are reviewed and permitted. And specifically, the applicant wants to be able to house students interested in faith on site of their property while training them. So a little bit of history and context about where this request is coming from and the code change. And I'm only going to go over this because it's relevant later in the presentation, but the applicant who submitted for the code change, they have a client, and that client had a pre-submission conference a number of years ago for this type of project. They wanted to house students on site and train them. And based on that project application and the pre-submission conference, development services staff went over that and determined that the type of use would be considered a dormitory. And at that time, the applicant couldn't proceed with their project because dormitories were not allowed in the zones that they had on their property. So they went ahead and they submitted for a code change, and that is how this arrives to us today. And you'll see later on that some of the recommendations for the proposed language is to meet those needs of the applicant. This item was first docketed by the board in early 2020, and it is included as item number CR5 on the official docket. And the request only applies to the Olympia Urban Growth Area, so that is Title 23 of the Thurston County Code. So what the code currently looks like, currently the code language allows for places of worship within the Olympia Urban Growth Area to be permitted in all residential districts through a special use permit. And that includes residential 1 unit per 5 acres, residential low impact 2 to 4 units per acre, residential 4 units per acre, residential 4 to 8 units per acre, residential 6 to 12 units per acre, mixed residential 7 to 13, mixed residential 10 to 18, and residential multifamily 18 units per acre. So in all of those zoning districts, places of worship are permitted through a special use permit. And there are specific standards for places of worship set out in 2304060, which I will go over here next. So currently, these are the current standards for permitting a place of worship. And I just wish to draw the Planning Commission's attention to 2 bolded items on the screen. So there is criteria like locational criteria, minimum lot size, conversion and screening. But the 2 bolded items that I would like to go over are dwelling units and associated uses and how those are permitted for places of worship. So dwelling units are permitted in conjunction with a place of worship. However, they must comply with the underlying provisions that govern residential uses in the district and where they are located. So it basically follows its own permit process, and the same goes for associated uses. Associated uses sponsored by a place of worship, that can include day schools, auditoriums, health centers, convents, preschool facilities, convalescent homes. These are all subject to the provisions in the district in which they are located. So to go over an example of what that looks like, here's another excerpt of the current code. And as I just mentioned, dwelling units and associated uses can be permitted with a place of worship. They can go on the same property, but they are subject to the underlying provisions of the zoning district where they're located. So if a place of worship wanted to have a dormitory on the property, dormitories are currently only permitted in R1 to 5, RLI 2 to 4, MR 10 to 18, and RM 18. So the applicant's property was in R4 and R4 to 8. It had split zoning on the property. And for that reason, they could not continue with a dormitory as a use on their property under the current regulations. So just to recap the applicant's request, they did request for dwelling units to be reviewed as an associated use. And they also requested that associated uses be considered as determined by the approval authority or the director, rather than subject to the underlying provisions. They did ask for a definition be added in for boarding schools into Title 23. And community planning initially did a lot of work around this request. I worked with development services and drafted some code language that met this request, but there were a number of issues that were identified in working with permitting staff and the development services teams. And just to go over what some of those were, for items determined as determined by approval authority or director, it doesn't specify a permitting pathway. And that makes it very difficult to implement. And it's also not transparent for citizens. So there's not an established permit process. There's not an established timeline, and it can lead to inconsistent interpretation and application of the code. And additionally, we looked into adding a definition for boarding school, but there are currently existing definitions for dormitories and schools in the county code. And boarding school falls somewhere in between there as live-in and educational facility. Additionally, we don't reference boarding schools anywhere else in the code. Olympia also does not reference boarding schools in their code, and we don't have an established permit process for it. So based on these issues, community planning worked with development services to come up with some alternative language, and that is what is in attachment A of the packet for the Planning Commission tonight. And that language still meets the applicant's goal of being able to house students on site for training. And it also has a permit process that's very clear and identified, so it's consistent for citizens and applicants who might be interested in this type of use. So going over what that proposed amendment looks like, these are all changes to 2304, which is the residential districts section in the Olympia UGA zoning code. And as written, they would expand the zoning districts where dormitories are allowed to R4 and R4 to 8, only in conjunction with a place of worship. So you'll see it says S and asterisk, and then the footnote says that these would be permitted only when in conjunction with a place of worship. So it does not allow it across the board, but it would allow it when it's in conjunction with a place of worship. And then within the places of worship standards under 2304.060, we've added dormitories under associated uses, so they could also be considered through that route. So how does this shake up to the rest of the Thurston County Code, and what does the consistency look like? One important thing that I'd like to note is that the current language that is adopted in the Thurston County Code is consistent with what the Olympia Municipal Code currently has. And this proposed amendment would make this section of code somewhat inconsistent because it would expand the area where dormitories are allowed in additional locations where they are not currently allowed within the Olympia urban growth area. And if the goal is to align those two codes, then there might be additional changes needed to both the county, the city, or potentially no amendments to either. And we could work more on that if that is a goal that the Planning Commission seeks. But ultimately, consistency is something we strive for because it makes it transparent and predictable for those citizens in those locations when those areas are annexed. So that's why they're similar as they are currently. In other parts of the Thurston County Code, associated uses to churches are typically permitted as separate uses, and they are also subject to the underlying zoning district. While the applicant's original requested language would have not been consistent with the rest of the code, the proposed language in attachment A is consistent with how these types of uses are treated elsewhere in the Thurston County Code, so it would not be a diversion from the process that we implement in other urban growth areas or within the rural county. And there are a few relevant policies in the comprehensive plan and the joint plan about providing certainty and consistency on land use permits, and also about ensuring the proposal is generally consistent with policies between the UGA and the county. And generally the proposal is consistent with these policies, except for the third one that is listed here, which states that as I stated before, the code change would result in differences between the Thurston County Code and the Olympia Code. And that might be somewhat inconsistent between the two and lead to confusion when properties are annexed. So the next slide, we did solicit comments from the City of Olympia before bringing this forward to the Planning Commission. And they had a lot of good thoughts on the proposal. So they're, just to summarize, their full comment letter and email is in attachment B, but to summarize their main points, the proposed amendments would go further than what the Olympia Code allows for. And if the intention is to align these two areas, then there might be additional changes that are necessary to the proposal. Under the proposal, dormitories would be allowed in more zones than the city's code currently allows for. And the proposed draft would allow for a permitted use, but is a conditional use permit needed? Is there a reason that dormitories are permitted with a place of worship, but not a school? Is boarding school defined? The City of Olympia does not have a definition for boarding school. Another point they raised is that there is no cap for size of dormitories and boarding schools, and that could result in a large scale situation. And is the code prepared to address potential scale and size impacts? And they also suggested some alternative routes for the county to consider, like adding a different type of use under associated uses, such as a guest house or a single room occupancy. So I do have 2 points on this slide that are starred. And that's because after we received comments from the City of Olympia, we did make changes to the code language, and that is shown as it is in attachment A now. So initially it was as a permitted use, the additional zones, but that has been revised to read as a special use now. And we did work on adding a definition for boarding schools, but after receiving comment from the City of Olympia and talking further with development services, we struck that definition of boarding school. I do want to note the last bullet on this slide where they suggest some alternatives to look into guest houses or single room occupancies. Staff did investigate that a little bit and look into what that would mean if we added those under associated uses in lieu of dormitory as a smaller scale option. And that would provide a route for certain types of additional residential uses on the property. However, it may not meet the applicant's full need based on their previous project plans and the way they want to have communal kitchens and shared lodging. So they might have to rework future project plans if the alternative route is taken. And currently there is no cap on dormitories in the places of worship code section. So it could result in a large scale situation as the city brought up in their comment. We're happy to investigate what that would mean and what adding a cap could look like if the Planning Commission provides that direction further. So for next steps, as I mentioned, there were a couple of points brought up by the City of Olympia, and staff is happy to investigate any of those further if the Planning Commission would like us to, and bring that item back at a following meeting. That could include looking at a dorm size cap, drafting some alternative code language for what an associated use in lieu of dormitories would look like. And if there are no further questions and the Planning Commission feels ready, then we would request that the Planning Commission move forward to set a public hearing for September 1st.
This is Jim. It's always been my belief that what we do should reflect what the city may want to happen in their jurisdiction later on. And this seems like the city has a lot of, I don't want to necessarily say objections, but they have a lot of questions about what's going on. And I think before I can sign off on this, or even to go to the public hearing, I need to hear more what the city is and how do we adjust to their needs rather than, so when they eventually take over this, that it won't be a big deal for them. If that makes sense, I guess that's kind of my thought.
This is Kevin. I agree with you, Jim.
Yes, Ed. I do too. I mean, I look at the UGAs as those are, I mean, hopefully they'll all get annexed into the city sometime soon and get the, and we should have it coordinated with the city's policies as much as we can. So I agree with you, Jim.
Do we see where cities do incorporate churches within their UGAs, or the church is one of the last things they pick up because the tax revenues aren't worth it to them? They don't want to provide the new services to them.
I don't have an answer to that question, but I can say that this property is not, the applicant's property is not on the border of a city. It's on kind of a area further out within the urban growth area. So I don't think annexing is an immediate concern.
But would, if we make these changes though, would it affect the whole urban growth area?
Yes, it would affect the whole urban growth area.
So this is Scott. I want to go back to the discussion we had recently about Tumwater. And I understand trying to make this as reasonable as we can with Olympia, but I also think we can't hold Thurston County citizens hostage to the wills of the city of Olympia, you know, because you look at this and I don't know where they are. I don't know what Olympia's plan is, but they could be 20, 30, 50 years before they get annexed.
That's fair.
I tend to agree with Scott, and I think that we should also consider that if we are looking for consistency between Olympia Code and Thurston County Code, it doesn't always need to be Thurston County that bends.
So is anybody willing to make a motion to set the public hearing?
Before we ask for that, do we have a clear set of questions that we would want from staff to ask before we made any kind of decisions?
I think this item one here, it seems to be that the city of Olympia isn't necessarily against it. They're concerned about size and scale. And so answering the questions the city has with how we can do that would be helpful for me.
This is Kevin. My biggest concerns are about not having any cap at all, and it was recommended that staff could research and advise on setting caps of various sizes, which I would love to hear. And number two, the lack of or the different permitting approval process for housing. I mean, a place of worship wanting housing, I can see an exemption when they're just trying to have housing for one or two people. But when we start talking about 5, 10, 20, 50 people, that seems like it should follow a normal permitting process.
Well, yeah, this is Ed. I mean, those are sort of my concerns too. I mean, the size thing is really concerns me because we're talking about, I mean, I don't know exactly, well, where is this property? But it's on sewer, it's going to be on septic. So you don't want a great big dormitory unless they're running their own sewage treatment plant.
Well, I think that would limit the size of their dormitory plants more than what our zoning would do. They would have to jump through a lot of hoops before they could put up a big, huge dorm or anything like that. It wouldn't just be a zoning issue. So the restrictions that the county puts on them probably would be incorporated by those other concerns, such as sewer or traffic, or anything else that's kind of in a you know, more rural area.
Okay.
Well, I agree, Ed. I don't know where they are, but they are in the UGA, so they do have access to sewer, just whether or not they have it now.
No. The whole UGA doesn't have sewer in it.
No, but it can be extended to them. Yeah, but I don't know where it is now.
But that's why where they are in the UGA is really important, and I don't know why we don't have that information, but I mean, if they're miles and miles from the closest sewer line, it's impractical.
And this code is, you know, for the whole UGA. It's not spot zoning. We're not trying to do spot zone here. It's just for the whole UGA. So I guess I don't have the same concern some of the other commissioners do.
So I think what I'm hearing from the commission is that a few of you would like further information on what a cap might look like. So what I think is a good next step forward is for me to work on some alternative code language and also circle back with the City of Olympia and get some feedback on which options they might be more comfortable with, and then bring that back at a future planning commission date, probably September 1st. And at that point, if that answers the questions of the commission, we can set a hearing at that time.
I would think that would be a good course of action too. If it's not terribly hard to dig up, if you were able to tell us whether some of these other factors like sewer, septic, and traffic would also make an impact on size in these particular areas, if you can kind of give us the thumbnail on that, that might be helpful.
Great. I will bring that information back at an upcoming meeting for the commission, and we can move from there. We're prepared to set a public hearing. So.
John, you're muted if you're talking. Don, I see your mouth move, but.
All right, in addition to what Olympia might desire to have, I would like to hear why they would.
Great.
Any other thoughts or comments? Thanks, Maya. We'll look forward to seeing you soon. So looks like we're to staff updates, Jennifer.
Yeah, you guys did an efficient job tonight. I'll tell you what, pretty nice.
Okay, used to.
Yeah, right. I think this is a win. The only thing I want to remind everyone that you have an email talking about vaccination attestations. So all of the county's boards and commissions must fill out an attestation as to their vaccination status, and those are due back to Polly per that email. So if you need it to be resent, just give Polly a shout. Otherwise, those need to be submitted. And basically it has to do with knowing whether if and when we go to in-person, you have to wear a mask or not at this point. Although things are quite fluid right now, as you can see in the news and media and everywhere else around this issue, but please do fill out that attestation and send it in. And that's all I had.
I don't recall seeing that, so maybe I missed it. So Polly, could you send me one again of that form?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
I don't recall seeing it either. I thought maybe it was just me.
I know we got one back already, so somebody got it, but we'll send it out again. How about that?
Okay.
Great. Okay, no, thanks, Jennifer. Unless you have something else, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, I'm good.
Okay. So let's do calendars. Anybody will be absent for the August 18th meeting? Oh, looks like Don. Anyone else? Okay, so how about September 1? Okie doke. Well, thanks you guys all. It was a good meeting today. It feels like we moved forward pretty great. And that was good. Felt like we got somewhere. So I appreciate you guys all. And staff, great job. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you all.